questions, a lot of why. So when Tim asked me, and I was like, sure. And then after I said, sure, I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to preach on? So God just put one word in my mind at that moment, and it's faith. So today I'm going to preach to you about faith. And I don't know if there's anybody else in here that struggled with their faith at some point. Not really the faith in the existence of God, but maybe God's will, God's promises, things like that. And I'm going to talk about a guy who most of the time we throw under the bus all the time, and that's Thomas. And if you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. And it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here with your hand and put it in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So how many people in here have heard of doubting Thomas? He didn't believe and wasn't going to believe until he could put his finger into the nail prints and his hand into the side of Jesus. He said, I will not believe. But the bad part is most of us only remember Thomas from this part of the Bible. And that's it. He automatically gets labeled as the doubter from this account. And mainly only remember his name because of this passage. And they leave it at that. But what about the Thomas? That's from John 11. When Jesus shared he wanted to go to Bethany after Lazarus had died, it was Thomas who called upon the disciples to go with him, even though there was a very real threat of death. Thomas said, let us go so that we may die with him. So he had faith then, unwavering faith, willing to die for the cause of Christ. And it's also held in a lot of traditions and a lot of history that he went and spread the gospel into India and was martyred there. And while there's no biblical proof of that, there is a lot of historical documents and oral tradition to give that support. And this was after his struggle with faith. And it's not that Thomas didn't believe Jesus existed or God existed. He just didn't know what the will of God was. And maybe doubted what the will of God was. And so many times we like to single out poor Thomas here as if he was the only one with doubts. As he was the only one that ever doubted. Most, if not all of the disciples, also doubted in the resurrection. In Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 14. It says, now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and he had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along their way to the country. And they went away and reported it to the others. But they did not believe them either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. They had their doubts. Did Jesus really rise up from the dead? But here's an important part that I can't stress enough. We need to read the next verse. In verse 15 it says, "And then he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" Immediately after reprimanding them for their lack of faith, for their unbelief, he tells them to go spread the gospel. It's almost he knew that there would be times in their life that the apostles would struggle with their faith, would struggle with what knowing what God wants them to do. But still yet, he gave the commandment to spread the gospel, as if assuring them that no matter what happened, whether they had full faith or whether they were struggling with doubts or questions, that he would be with them. And that's the same thing with us today. If we're struggling in our faith, if we have questions, he's with us. Whatever struggle Thomas had in believing that Jesus was raised from the dead was certainly not held in isolation. And here's where we can add our names to the mix. Can any of us say that we have never struggled with our faith? Our faith in God's promises, God's power, God's ways, God's goodness, God's will, or even at times his very existence. I'll admit I have. I had a very dark time in my life where I didn't know if God even existed. And so I started searching out for answers. And he proved himself time and time and time again. Have we struggled with our role in Christ's kingdom? Our worship? Our love of God for others? Or even our salvation? Maybe our struggles have come in the form of doubt. Maybe they have come as questions or confusion. Or maybe they have come from a place of deep sorrow and pain. I believe that while we have all struggled in different ways, the thing we have in common is the struggle. The thing here is struggle leads to doubt. And doubt leads to death. Eternally. So what are we to do? How do we continue walking this path, carrying our cross onward in this world, while our faith may be struggling or our flame has become nothing but a small ember? What do we do? I think the first thing we have to do is study the word faith. A lot of people don't really understand its true definition. The word has become so popular in recent years, but its meaning is diminished. Its meaning has been whittled and watered down so it doesn't mean what it was supposed to. Webster defines it as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Strong belief in God or in doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. But the Bible defines it as now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a little bit different in that definition there. The biblical definition, assurance, we know. Like Bacon has said so many times, it's not as much faith as we know. We know Jesus to be real. We know Jesus to be crucified for our sins. We know these things. So there we must have faith that is with us in everything else. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what questions we have, Jesus is still there. So we have to understand faith. Someone can have faith in dandelions for spiritual healing. Or they can have faith that crystals from the ground can heal them from disease. But this is a stark contrast to someone having faith in an almighty creator that has them in the palm of his hands and looking after them. So when we struggle with our faith, it's vital to define the object and reasonableness of that faith. All faith claims are not equal. Before we can be secure in our faith, we must answer this very important question. What is my faith in? Many hold to the idea of having faith in faith. Faith is seen as the object rather than God Himself. When we absolutely define what our faith is placed in, it becomes easier to understand why we are struggling. Many of our struggles come because we have not defined our faith. We don't know what we're putting our faith in. We don't know where our faith is going. Or in reality, our faith has been misdirected. Do we really have faith in God? Or has our faith been misdirected to man, to the natural, or ourselves? When we say we have faith in God, but we load our burdens upon others, upon the natural, or upon ourselves, we swim in that sea of denial. We no longer have faith in God. We have faith in ourselves. And that's a very sad thing to put all of our faith in. If we understand God and who He really is, we know to cast all of our problems, burdens, pain, struggle, questions, doubt upon Him. Yet we hold on to Him dearly on the hopes that somehow, some way, we can solve them. Because our faith is misdirected. So now that we have an understanding of what real faith is, we have to come to terms with what we do when our faith is struggling to the point that the ideas of God is faithful, God always works in our best interest, or God's ways are beyond our understanding, become alien to us. And we're not 100% sure we are believing what we're saying when we say these statements. We have to ask ourselves this question. Is it wrong to struggle with our faith? I hope not. The apostles seem to struggle with their faith. Many in the Bible seem to struggle with their faith. All throughout history, many have struggled with their faith. I have struggled with my faith, so I hope not. I've had many make the comment to me about how strong my faith must be because of everything that my family and I went through, and I still believe. But I have to tell them there's been times my faith has been so weak that I didn't even know if God really existed. Or if that He did, I didn't know if He really cared. It has not been my faith that has carried me in these struggles. It has been God that strengthened my faith when I needed it most. It's always God. If we had to rely on ourselves to strengthen our faith, surely we would be damned. The thing is, God knows there will be times that we struggle with our faith in His will, His promises, His power, His ways, even His existence. But now back to poor Thomas. After Jesus appeared and told him to put his hands into the nail prints in his side, Thomas explained, "My Lord and my God." Once he saw Jesus, he quickly believed. To me, it seemed that Thomas wanted to believe, but needed a little help to get him all the way there. Maybe that's us sometimes. I know it is for me. My faith weakens, but I want to believe. I want to believe in God's promises. I want to believe that what is happening will turn out for the good. I want to believe that what is happening is going to turn out for the best. My faith weakens, but I want to believe. I just need Jesus' help. We don't have the luxury of Thomas here. He said he would not believe until he saw. Jesus appeared and said, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see, yet believed." We must believe regardless if we see or not. Yes, there has been many times in my life, I can't speak for anybody else, but I dare say there has been many times, and there will be a great many more, that God has proved his will, his power, his love, and his existence. But at the very moment of our pain, our doubt, our struggles, our questions, we seem to contract a severe case of amnesia. And we forget who God is and what God has done. God has always been there, and God is always there, and God always cares. When we focus on our pain, our struggles in faith, and not God, we're giving that power over to Satan, and he will continue to chip away at us. But God knows this, and he will be there to strengthen our faith, answer our questions, if only we will call out to him and hear him. So putting all this together leads me to believe that it's okay when we struggle in our faith. It's okay to have questions. We might have intellectual questions of what's true and what's logical. I know that's been a big thing for me. I've always been a scientific person. And on the surface, a lot of things of God and a lot of things in the Bible are not logical. Things in the Christian faith that don't seem right or logical on first sight. And this can create questions for us. The question of evil. Why it exists. The beginning of man. If God didn't want them to eat from the tree of knowledge, why did he put it smack dab in the middle of the garden? On the surface, these are not easily answered. So we have to search the scriptures and prayer and fasting and calling out to God to guide us in the answers that we seek. We're not going to get the answers by doing nothing. We will have emotional questions, ones that often come from pain or grief. Why does God allow suffering? Why is this happening to me or my loved ones? Why? 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 The problem with these questions is they're not as easily answered as intellectual questions sometimes. It's usually about wounded feelings. Many times when we have these emotional questions, we don't really need or get answers as much as we just need God's love and comfort. This is the time that the ideas of God is faithful, God always works in our best interest, and God's ways are beyond our understanding really come into play and have a big part in the strength of our faith. When a father of a boy possessed by a demon came to Jesus seeking help, Jesus said, "Anything is possible to him that believes." Anything is possible to him that believes. To which a man replied, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." See, here the man wanted to believe, just like Thomas. He wanted to believe. But also, just like Thomas and ourselves sometimes, he needed that extra help from Jesus to get to the point of full faith. Notice Jesus did not call out the man on his unbelief. But after the man pleaded for Jesus to help him with his unbelief, Jesus drove the demon out of the child. He accepted the man's raw faith wasn't quite up to par. Wasn't quite all the way there. But Jesus also knew the important thing in his situation was that the man saw this and asked Jesus to help him with his struggling faith. I do believe. Help with my unbelief. This was a man who wanted to believe fully, but he was struggling to get there. He wanted his faith to be strong, but he needed the help of Jesus to get it there. This father, Thomas, us. Maybe that's the real meaning of having faith the size of the grain of mustard seed. If we have something, anything to work with, but we acknowledge our inadequacies and call upon Jesus to strengthen our faith, anything is possible. So now we know we're struggling in our faith. We know that we have questions. And we know that it's okay to have those questions. We know that God understands that our faith will waver and struggle at times. What do we do to remedy the situation? We know that we have to do something. Because if we continue on this path of struggling faith, it can't lead to anywhere good. We have to take that first step after we realize the shape we're in. We have to move forward towards Christ. See, we have three basic choices when it comes to handling our struggles and our questions. First, we can try to deny and hide them. Try to hide them from ourselves, from others, and yes, even from God. And we might do this because we feel ashamed or unspiritual. We forget that many men and women of God in the Bible have struggled with their faith as well. We have to turn to God. And at times, we may not simply want to admit that we don't have our arms around our faith, our Creator, our God, as much as we might think. Or want. Sometimes it's hard to face the truth that our faith isn't as far along as we would like it to be. Or we're having struggles and questions after everything God has brought us through. We have to be transparent and genuine with ourselves, with others, and with God if our faith is to be strengthened and our questions answered. Denying our lack of faith, our struggles or our questions, creates a nice plastic body. We look fine on the outside, but the inside we are a spiritual wreck and we are dying. Second, we can move to the other end of the spectrum and get so bogged down with our questions, our pain, our struggles, and our faith that we allow our already weak faith to be derailed. These things become barriers between us and God. And we can't hear or feel anything he's trying to tell us. We can't feel that he's trying to help us. The voice of Satan has become so loud and up front that we cannot hear the small, still voice of God that we have put to the background. When we allow these things to stop our growth, our faith, we essentially tell God that he is not strong enough, not powerful enough, not loving enough to break them. Our struggles, our questions, and our pain becomes our God. And God becomes nothing at all to us. Third, we can work through our questions and our struggles. We can face them head on and allow God to work in us and through us. We can realize that our faith is not what it should be or could be. We can realize that we are not alone in our problems of faith and our questions. We can realize that we share the same thing with numerous men and women throughout the Bible and throughout history. We can realize that we need to be just like the father of the possessed boy and cry out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help with my unbelief. Facing our problems and allowing God to work through and in us is part of what it means when we are told to work out our salvation in Philippians 2. But work is hard. It takes effort, and usually there is resistance. Attacks from Satan to keep our faith weak and our struggles strong, our questions unanswered. Faith is not easy, and God knows this. He is not threatened by our questions, our concerns, or even our doubts. He wants us to call out to help to resolve these things. And if we search for Him, we will find Him. If we listen to Him, we will hear Him. So back to those three points. God is faithful. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "The rock, His work is perfect, for all of His ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is He." God always works in our best interest. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." God's ways are beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." But if we were honest with ourselves, there comes a time in our life when we're not 100% sure of these things. And we have to cry out to God, "Help me in my unbelief." While we struggle in our faith and our questions, remember that we are in good company. Elijah, after calling down fire from heaven in one chapter, in the very next chapter, we find him hiding in a cave asking God to just go ahead and take his life because he had let fear of Jezebel take over. Where was his faith? During times of stress and exhaustion, we can easily develop that amnesia and forget all God has done for us. When John the Baptist was in prison, he had his doubts if Jesus was who he really said he was and wanted proof. And Jesus gave him proof. We have Thomas and the disciples about the resurrection. The list could continue. God was there to strengthen each of them in their struggles, to bolster and grow their faith. When we find our faith weakened and our questions growing, we must remember what faith is: an assurance. We have to realize that while questions are not wrong, we must seek out the answers and not do nothing. We have to know that while God understands that we will have struggles in our faith, we must call upon Him to help our unbelief. We cannot allow our struggles, our pain, and questions to derail our faith. We must admit our struggles and questions and allow God to work through and in us. Realize that we are not alone. God has given us so many resources to help us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Fellowship, the Word of God, prayer, fasting, talking to a friend. God has given us so many resources to help us. So while we have questions, and I'm going to close with this, while we have questions, while our faith may be weak, or our fire must be nothing more than a small ember, in the end, all we have to do is cry out, "Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief." As they come up here to do a song, I want to invite everybody. I don't know if you are now, but I know I am struggling. And I would ask if you are, that you would come up to this altar and kneel with me, because I'm going to be there. And ask for God to give you strength, to strengthen my faith. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, answer my questions. I have so many questions. Up here is where you're going to find your answers. God, I'm struggling in my faith. Up here is where you'll find strength. Call out upon God. and he will answer. So as they play this song, if anybody needs to come up and talk to God, I invite you to do so.
Through every battle, through every